going to be held September the 7th and the 8th here in Washington, D.C. The website is gov2summit.com, and I believe that there is registration available for at least a few more days. I know that they've got a really large outpouring of people who are really excited by the agenda and the people who are coming. So I think it's going to be a large crowd like it was last year, and a very excited crowd.
And let's talk a little bit about that. It seems Gov 2.0 really changing a bit. How that must make it difficult for you to roll out a program that still very speaks to people.
Well, I would say that the agenda certainly in the program are quite fluid.
Yeah.
We have people who are just really finding out about the opportunity, and I think we're hearing from folks who really want to participate in the program. And, you know, there are only 2 days, and we try to get people to take part in everything from 5-minute ignites to 10-minute panels to 20-minute interviews with groups of really interesting innovators. And it it makes for an exciting, very fast-paced agenda. But as you hinted, there is so much changing so rapidly in this space since last year when we held the first summit here that Tim O'Reilly brought to Washington, that it's really a challenge to try to keep up with it.
Has the ideas behind what the Gov 2.0 summit is, has that changed at all in a year?
Well, it has. I mean, obviously this has matured considerably as people are starting to not just hear about the ideas, but actually to do things. And I think this year we're focusing a little bit more on two layers. You know, first is the idea that Tim O'Reilly made sort of the cornerstone of Gov 2.0 is thinking about government as platform. And that is a fundamentally important idea that people are just beginning to comprehend, I think, and actually experiment with.
And talk a little bit about what that is, because I think it's a lot of people will have heard it, but for those who haven't, it can sound a little government as a platform. What does that mean?
Sure. You know, we have relied on government for centuries to be the solver of problems, to be the advocacy of last resort. And in fact, what we've really learned, it's impossible since the advent of really high levels of interconnectedness, is that there are all kinds of things that we can do for ourselves, where government becomes sort of the platform for people creating solutions to problems and not government finding the solutions and creating them for us. So, for example, if you think about all the data that government collects, all kinds of data, from weather data, for example, to crime data locally, there is data out there that can be accessed by applications that people can write. Organizations, individuals, entrepreneurs, government agencies themselves can write these applications, just like you think of the iPhone with application writers. They can take that data that's available and then create these applications to provide services and solutions to problems that we just couldn't have imagined just 2 years ago. This is really quite a renaissance in the way that people reveal themselves in the compact with government. And that compact has always been the social sharing of responsibilities. And I think now what we're seeing is that more and more citizens are empowered to take part in that, in the compact, in a very, very different way. And it comes at a time, frankly, when government is strapped for cash and for resources to be able to provide services, where citizens now are volunteering in record numbers for all kinds of new programs and are innovating in ways that make it possible for them to share power and to share responsibility with government.
And we're talking to Dick O'Neill. He is the co-chairman of the Gov 2.0 Summit. He is also the founder and president of the Highlands Group. One of the challenges here is this seems to change the relationship not only between government and citizens, but also between amongst governments, federal, state, and local, and also amongst government agencies themselves, how they deal with one another. A lot of change going on.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, it technology is a major part of this. It's not the totality, but it's a major part. And it really is transforming our ability to work together in society to accomplish really big and important goals. And that means within government as well as the compact between government and citizens. And it's fascinating to me. I mean, I just found a citation about 3 or 4 days ago to a speech given by the Secretary of Foreign Affairs and the head of civil service in Singapore, where they're among the most connected societies and the most literate societies in the world. They are talking about government as platform over there, and they are actually engaging in a way of opening up government and governance in Singapore that probably wasn't imaginable a few years ago. They are taking an extraordinary lead, and so we're really excited because we've got the director of Singaporean Public Service and their Secretary of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Peter Ho, who's going to be coming to the summit to talk to us about what they're doing in Singapore. And it's become a global affair. It's not a local or state or federal in the U.S. It is a global event.
We were talking before we started that one of the things is that there's so much going on out there, and I know some people think, well, the thing that I'm doing is so small, it's almost inconsequential. Some of those small things have ended up being very, very powerful and have really almost game-changing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I noticed on the program, Judith Rodin, who is the president of the Rockefeller Foundation, has begun programs with Rockefeller in cities to empower citizens, to make it possible for people to volunteer in ways that they've never been able to do before. And you see the entrepreneurial spirit really coming to life. It is truly remarkable. So they have programs called Cities of Service, Cities of Innovation, and there are new services that are even going on in D.C. and New York with Mayor Bloomberg. There are mayors all over the country who are taking part in this program now and finding out what the possibilities are that they just didn't know about even months ago.
Yeah. One of the remarkable things, well, part of it is the amount of change that is going on, and you're still finding some folks who are resisting that change. And I think if you're on the resisting side of that, you're just, I'm not everything needs to change. But
well, you know, there is the problem of buzzwords, and
yeah,
you know, a lot of people just reject out of hand the idea of buzzwords, and I understand that. And you know, we have so many of them coming at us every day that there's always the new breathless thing. But in fact, the things that Tim O'Reilly has been talking about for the last few years, you know, whether it was the Web 2.0, and that really did signify something quite different, and how that moves into a space of services, like where government provides services and now citizens change that relationship, you know, that is truly different. And while people can reject buzzwords, they should come and see what is really truly changing. And the whole idea about experimenting and innovation that's going on, I'm actually quite stunned by the level that this has taken on. Even at local levels, doing very, very seemingly small things that have grown remarkably since they've been started in just a year. So these apps that people are writing for government data, the people who are completely changing what used to be public services into private services now. For example, the FAA looking at how you track aircraft, a company called Passeur, which is just taking that same data and passive radar data and making it possible to do things for their clients and for airlines in ways that we haven't thought about. And this is brand new. So we're really excited about what's happening here, and this is truly different.
Well, and I got to say, if you haven't attended one of these events before, it's a much different audience than you typically find at government events, and it tends to be a little bit younger, but also very collaborative. These are people who are interested in solving problems.
That's exactly right.
What a remarkable these aren't people who are sitting on the sidelines saying, oh, you know, we can't do. They're saying, how do we get this done?
You know, I read recently that the age of the average government employee is going to be somewhere around 35 years old here in the next couple of years. It means we've had an extraordinary infusion of young people into government service at the same time that we've seen the beginnings of the boomers begin to slide out of government service after very long and rich careers. But it means that you're going to have a very different outlook in the way that people collaborate, share information, create these new apps to do things in their own areas of interest. And I think it's going to mean something quite different for governance, the way that we've been used to it before and the way that we work in government. So you're right. The audience is quite different. We'll have policymakers there, Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood, and we'll have people down at the level of, you know, entry into government who are bringing their ideas and how to use technology differently and how to share information into government for the first time. So you'll see the 20 to 60-year-olds spread all over, but a large, large sprinkling of very young people new to government there as well.
And give people the website one more time, so sure. If they want to get information.
Gov2Summit.com. And we're really looking forward to having what I think is a large and really excited crowd there on September 7th and the 8th here in D.C.